ॐ शुक्लां भरधरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं कृतं नवरमं ध्याये सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ I think the last nama repeated is 585, Parayanam, the supreme goal. See, one of the most important points that Vedanta conveys is anyone, anywhere in the world, at any given point in time, is only seeking happiness, the sukham. And Vedanta says that bliss is your original state. That bliss is your original nature. Not knowing that your original nature is bliss, due to this ignorance of your original nature, there is a desire. Because of the vacuum, the desire, the thought flows to the world to feel complete, to find that happiness. So you develop desire and you try to fulfill the desire and try to find that sukha, not knowing that in this process you will not get sukha, and even if you get sukha, it will be temporary, transient sukha. So the real sukha is within you. And when we say within oneself and within this universe, is that same principle called the pure consciousness. So attainment of the pure consciousness, then who are we at the moment? We are consciousness conditioned by objects, emotions, thoughts. We are this individual who are conditioned consciousness. So when we drop all the conditionings, then we attain, or we become, or we merge with that pure consciousness. That is the ultimate goal. That is what is called as Narayana or Vishnu. So therefore, Vishnu's another nama is Parayanam, the supreme goal, the ultimate goal where everyone is trying to get. So, till we reach that goal, we will not rest on it. We will try to find that sukham, that bliss in many objects, beings and relationships and this and that here. But ultimately, it is only in realizing the self within. So it is not in attaining anything in the world, it is dropping the conditioning. As I start dropping my conditionings, I attain the supreme self within, and that is the ultimate goal. This was the last nama that we saw. We'll get on to the next shloka. Shubhangashantidashresh shashtaha kumudakkuvaleshayaha gohita gopatir bhokta vrishabhakshobhrishapriyaha shubhangashantidashresh कुमुदत्कुवलेशयः गोहितो गोपतिर्भोक्ता वृषभाक्षो वृषप्रियः शुभांगः वन हु हैज द मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल फॉर्म शुभांग फर्स्टली ब्राह्मण इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी विदाउट अ फॉर्म बट फॉर्मलेस रियालिटी इज ब्राह्मण. And that formless reality from which this entire universe has come about. So this entire universe is actually the manifestation of that divine reality. And he says, that it is the most beautiful form, Shubhanga. That one who is enchanting, most handsome, one with a handsome form. See, as you get closer and closer to the divinity, all the dirts fall away. When the dirts fall away, all the desires to acquire, all these desires fall away, you actually become handsome. Handsome is that handsome does person. So here when he says it's the most beautiful form, the beauty of the self reflects in it. Therefore, it is considered as the most beautiful form. So it's got nothing to do with pedicure, manicure and all that. So Shubhangaha. Shubhanga means when the dirt from within is gone, becomes very beautiful. It shines fully. So the Atma, the Brahman shines through this universal form. Hence it's considered as most brilliant, beautiful form. Then Shanti Daha. Lord Narayana dispenses the peace upon us. It puts an end to all our personal likes and dislikes. The reason for our ashanti means disturbance, agitation, is because we live our lives predominantly based on likes and dislikes. So the moment you take control over the likes and dislikes, you find shanti. So the world is not designed to get the one individual's likes and dislikes. So at any given point in time, you will have many, many desires, likes not fulfilled, or desires coming in front of you, dislikes coming in front of you. So you will be, not really happy. So constantly you will be in agitation. So Narayana dispenses that peace, putting an end to the likes and dislikes. Completely he cleanses the mind of the individual, the devotee, and gives him that inner peace. See, a person who is constantly gossiping, criticizing, putting somebody else down, is never happy. There is this beautiful poem called The Turkey and the Ant. It talks about the extrovertedness of the human mind. Seldom it turns introvert. Spirituality is the effort to turn it introvert and getting established in that. The moment you turn the mind from extroversion to introversion, you find the peace. The biggest problem in the world is everybody thinks they know. Josh Billing says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but they're knowing so many things which ain't so. So the problem is I know. I am all right. I am perfect. Nothing wrong with me. Last 3 days I was in the ashram. I had gone to Mumbai. We had some work to be done. So I had to go to the academy. So I met Swamiji and spent a good time with him. And we had an informal session to all the students. And constantly was only emphasizing on this point. Everybody thinks I'm all right. They genuinely think I am absolutely fine. When you ask them, how are you? I am fine. So, he says, it is one thing to have a disease and it is yet another thing to be not aware of the disease. Aware of the fact that you are suffering from the disease. He says, throughout this world, this is the problem. There is so much of selfishness, aggrandizement, hoarding tendencies, grabbing, you know. Each one trying to put the other fellow down. All these kind of things within. And with all this, we think we are fine. So we need to cleanse the mind. We cleanse the body. We cleanse the house. We cleanse the environment. All this is to actually help you cleanse the mind. You clean the house. You clean your puja room, puja vessels. Then you will oil the lamp, light the lamp, ring the bell, burn the camphor agarbatti. All this you'll do. It's all this, and then taking bath. All this, you are taking care of the external. But hardly anyone takes care of the internal. The mind. So shanti daha. So the moment you come to Narayana, you attain peace. Also, as I said, when you become introverted, you find the peace. What is it? An egoistic person is never peaceful. In spite of achieving a lot, the egoistic person will find it insecure. Very interesting, you know. The extroverted mind will be seeing the small little things that lack in life. And when it sees in the other person those things available, it thinks that I don't have it, they have it. You may have 10 million things more than that. So in the poem, Turkey and the Ant, he says, here you remark another sin with thy own conscience look with it. Control their more voracious will not for a breakfast nation. Turkey was killing millions of ants for breakfast. And it was complaining about the human beings for killing a turkey on the Christmas Eve. So once in a year, they kill a turkey and about 8 people feast on it. So 8 people having one turkey once in a year, the turkey cries as if it's a very big crime. While it is actually killing millions of ants for a breakfast. So 365 days it has breakfast. She has breakfast, and then what about lunch and dinner? So somebody else's crime in comparison to our crime may be very, very small, but look as if that's big, magnified. But when it is within us, even the biggest crime looks as if nothing. We think I'm all right. So spirituality is nothing but cleansing of the mind. This Parayanam of Vishnu Sahasranama is also cleansing the mind. Bhajan, kirtan. So you're using the organ of speech to chant, to sing. So that you help through this chanting and singing to cleanse the mind. So when you do that, you are singing the glories of Narayana. And all these bhajans when you sing, it talks about how Lord Rama went and conquered Ravana, established peace, this and that. So slowly, slowly what happens is your ego dissolves in Narayana. As it dissolves in Narayana, you find peace. You find tremendous peace. But the moment you come out of all these practices, you get into this world and start getting into ego living, you know, then all the disturbance, agitation starts coming. So, the more unselfish you are, the more selfless you are, the more peaceful you are. When you start divinizing your thoughts, what is divinizing thoughts? What does divinizing thoughts mean? Anybody? divinize your thoughts. He said, what do you mean by divinizing thoughts? Nobody there or not?
I'm not understanding the question, Guruji, sorry.
What does divinize your thoughts mean?
Divinize. Maybe it means that you...
What is this Didi?
Didi. The Ami.
Me, okay. She's put selfish, selfless. Correct. Being unselfish, selfless. Also, divinizing thoughts mean you ask the question, would this kind of a lifestyle help me in getting back to the self? Adhering to this kind of discipline, will it help me to getting back to the self? The wealth that I have, how can I put it to use for me to evolve, to get back to the self? How can I put this wealth into use for not only my upliftment, but for the upliftment of the people around me? See, the opposite of demonizing thoughts is demonizing thoughts. And what is the demon? Niji, answer that also. What is the demon?
Your mind only. It's your negative.
Evil.
Mind and ego are the demon. So when the mind is detached from the ego and attached to the divinity, it becomes divinized. Now it is demonized. That's all. So divinize your thoughts. So anything and everything you do, you consume, you talk, you walk, you ask, will this help me to get back to the self? Okay, you are going to gossip about somebody. Just pause. By this gossiping, is it going to help me? No. Is it going to help the people who are going to hear this gossip? No. Is it going to help the person about whom you are gossiping? No. Then why gossip? So this is called divinizing thoughts. But when you demonize your thoughts, it's very entertaining. Maja, pleasure thoughts. It's like scratching your wound. You scratch your wound. Are in almost in Swarga. Then when you leave it, the pain starts. You say, my God, what have I done? This is what they are doing. The extroverted mind. Unnecessarily interested in the other people's life. But the problem is, only that will give you money. You will start once, supposing you have an idea of starting a television channel. Everything only spiritual, you give nobody will come. Two fellows are locked in a room or in a big house for a few days. Everybody is interested in knowing what is going on in there. Why do you want to know? There's an unbelievable amount of money is involved. This is entertaining. So he says, Shantida absolutely cleanses your mind. Narayana mantra. In the mantra Narayana, Om Namo Narayana, Om Namah Shivaya, whatever may be the mantra, they remove the sense, they detach your mind from ego and attach it to the Atma.
So the moment you do that, it becomes dishonest. Otherwise, it is dishonest. So if you are finding havoc in your mind, you understand that you are associating with the demon. If there is havoc outside, when people are associating with the demons, it's a problem. So when you detach your mind from the worldly things and attach it to the higher, it becomes dishonest. You constantly ask. Put all your wealth to use. Don't keep hoarding. The way to but if you do that, in fact your wealth also will be. We've discussed this many times. It's not the wealth that agitates you. It's all these kind of wrong things people have. Oh, poor people are all sleeping happily. Wealthy people are all disturbed. Not wealthy people are disturbed, but poor people are sleeping happily. The thing is, when the mind is free, you are happy. So you can be wealthy and keep your mind free. Why not? What's wrong in that? So, constantly thinking about one's own upliftment, family's upliftment, society's upliftment, seeing how this can help, will this help, will this help? Then it is divinizing your thoughts. Then you will be peaceful, shanti. Shanti comes in your life. Srashta, the creator of all beings. We have seen how in Vedantic theory, how it explains this entire universe has come about. From Ishvara, within Ishvara there is this Maya. And from Maya the Hiranyagarbha comes, and from Hiranyagarbha the Virat Purusha comes, the entire universe. So therefore, he is called as Shrashta. So this world is nothing but manifestation of Brahman. Humudaha, reveler in the earth. Who means earth? So, Humudaha means one who delights in the earth. One who revels in the earth. The Lord delights in it, revels in it. He is the one singing and dancing in the trees. He is the one shining in the sun and the moon and the stars. So, you will see that the pure consciousness is sporting in every being, in every object. It is because of our mind being so extroverted and preoccupied in the world that we don't see it. So, Kumudaha, one who delights, who revels in us. So, as we get closer and closer to the self, our life also becomes a celebration. We will also be reveling. All 365 days will be a celebration. Not just birth, death also will be a celebration. Everything. Failure will be a celebration because it's an opportunity to learn. How to celebrate. Now when you see this Wimbledon tournament and all, finally they are giving the cup. And the runner-up goes to receive his cup, the winner is clapped. And the winner goes to receive his cup, the runner is clapped. Each one has displayed their best. One has lost in spite of getting the best. One has won after giving his best. And next year it can be different. fellow who won last this year may lose next year. A loser may win next year. Anything can happen. So, if you are in the moment, you will celebrate. If you are in the past and future, you will not celebrate. So, he says, Kumudasa, one who revels in the earth. You stop all your attachments, then you become, then you enjoy, then you dance. Each moment will be a dance. You don't get attached. Kuvaleshaya, one who reclaims in water. Water surrounds the earth, thus it is called Kuvala. It is one understanding. The other understanding, Kuvala means crawler, serpent. So one who lies on the serpent, Sarpasai, one who reclines upon the great Shesha, Sheshasai, Lord lies on the serpent. Serpent, you know what serpent indicates? Serpent indicates the coiled energy within. A huge big pipe is kept in a container by, in a, you wind it and keep it. So within us, this energy is coiled. So kuvaleshaya, one who lies, reclines on this. Gohita, one who does the cow welfare work. See, there has been too much of this nonsense. In the last few years I have been seeing that people who eat cow meat are being beaten up and told that you are not supposed to eat, and then they say, who are you to tell me, and they eat more. Even if the fellow was not eating, he'll start eating. All this rubbish and nonsense going on everywhere. See, first of all, Bharat, India, the main thing even today, is agriculture. And now only all these modern equipments and everything is coming. Otherwise, cow and bull are one of the most essential aspects in our agriculture. And without, and cow and bull are like our own family. In Tamil Nadu, during this Pongal festival, you know, in January, we have one first day Pongal. I mean, bogi. Bogi is that, what is it you call in North India? I forget, they burn everything. Festival. Some game is there. So we have like that. We burn all the old stuff. And the next day is Pongal, harvest festival. And next day is Madu Pongal. Madu means cow. Madu Pongal. So the cow's horns are painted. The cows are, you know, dress up the cows and they do puja to the cows. They do puja to the cows. Because cow is like our family member. It is giving us milk. And it is working for us the whole day. It has been one of the most important member of the family in our economy. You understand? So it is in that sense. Also, if you generally see, even in animals, there are different animals with different level of consciousness. So that is why when you kill a human being who is extremely conscious,
If you are an evolved person, you don't do that. It's not that if you are if you eat meat, then you will not grow spiritually. As you grow spiritually, you will rise above these things. Because you cannot hurt somebody. All this is misunderstood by everybody and all nonsense going on everywhere. And then this is, once it becomes political, it becomes complicated. So we need to understand correctly, you know. When you look into the eyes of the cow, what is it? Are we not selfish then too? Treat the donkey the same way that an animal too works for us. Of course, nobody who is conscious will do that. We are not saying we'll treat the donkey like this. See, that is what I am trying to say. The more and more conscious you become, you will not want to hurt anybody. Even the person who hurts you, you cannot hurt. You cannot hurt mentally, impossible. Physically, sometimes you might have to hurt. Like the doctor, you know, will put injection in the child. It's painful for the child, but he knows this has to be done. The patient is suffering with some pain and to help the patient, he'll do something probably, you know, then only it will set right or something. So then he'll do that. He knows it's painful, but actually his intention is to help. So in that sense, physically sometimes it happens. But mentally, you cannot hurt as you evolve. Even a person who hurts you, that is called forgiveness. Forgiveness, beautiful quotation is there. I think it's by Mark Twain. He says, forgiveness is the fragrance a violet releases as the foot crushes it. So a human being may have a lot of animal tendencies. Because we have essentially evolved from animals. So spirituality is to help us to rise above these animals. That's about it. You cannot force it on anybody. Even in some practices in religion, you sacrifice an animal. It is symbolic, it is sacrificing your ego. And also they have this tendency, so you sacrifice the animal, but that also you are associating with God. So the idea is slowly you will come out of it. Like I said, you know, divinity. That is the meaning. It is not that you should eat this, you should not eat this. All this become too much. If you really grow spiritually, you will not want to hurt anyone. You just cannot hurt. Mentally you cannot. That doesn't mean you physically become incapable. Anybody can come and do anything they want to me and my country. Not like that. Because I am a doormat. No. That's again a wrong understanding of ourselves. So when he says, Goshitaha, one who protected the cows by uplifting the Mount Govardhana in his incarnation as Krishna. So protecting the cow, meaning the people who are conscious. You understand? Cow, especially, is extremely important integral aspect of agricultural economy. This is one angle. In the other angle, if you look at it, the cow is a more conscious animal. Cow, elephant and all this, they're more conscious. But they know. In fact, the cow gives milk in the presence of a calf. So if the calf is dead, they will bring the fake calf, you know, they'll have dry hay and everything stuck, and they put the fake calf there.
and then the cow starts giving milk. So there's tremendous emotions. Plants, some of the plants, they display emotions. They react to music. It's not that only human beings should not be hurt, everybody else can be hurt. I don't know from where they bring this logic that everything is created in this world for human beings to enjoy. God knows where they brought this logic. Everybody talks like this. Many of them. Just like how you have come into this universe, they are also there. Live and let live. As much as possible. Mahavira, he sleeps on his side, not on his back. And he maintains that position. You will see that statue like that in many places. Because if he lies on a flat, he may be killing more insects. All these are only trying to tell that extremely aware. During certain seasons, the sannyasis and the mahatmas, they don't come out. Because there are a lot of, especially in the garden, the jungle where they are living, a lot of these insects coming out. They do not want to hurt. It's the sign of awareness. So protecting one's awareness from being taken away by the senses. When your awareness is taken away by your sense of tongue, the animals will be just a product. Because your awareness has been overpowered by the sense of taste. When your awareness is overpowered by any sense, then you look at everything as a product. But when you don't allow your awareness to be overpowered by any of your senses, then what will be there with you is love, kindness. This is what you will be filled with. Forgiveness, kindness, charitable disposition, compassion, non-injury. That is what he says. But look at it like that, you know. Govardhan, mountain goat, okay, he protected cow. Govardhan, giridhari, and then sing emotionally, and then everybody jump. It is not just that. Go, keep that. Protect. More conscious. You be very careful even when you use words, you know. You do not want to use words to hurt somebody else. See, that is a sign of maturity. No? You'll be ready to put yourself in danger, but you'll not put the other person in danger. This is a sign of maturity. That shows that you have grown up. No? What determines whether you have grown up or not? You ask yourself, I'm so and so, and my age is so and so, 55, 65, 75, whatever that is. I'm grown up. Simply because my age is 65, I'm grown up. Why am I called as grown up? But then from Vivekananda, I was once asked by Sharadama to bring a knife in the kitchen to work without keeping the pointed edge and gave the wooden side to her. So she said, now you are ready to go to lecture. So you become mature. You begin to see from the other person's point of view. That is what it means, bohitaha. Lord always sees from the other person's point. When you see the other person's point of view, you become the Lord. When you only see from your angle, then you are selfish. Go Patihi, next nama. The Lord of the earth, that is Vishnu. The Lord of earth. The husband of earth, Patihi. Provider. The earth has the capacity to produce vegetation and everything because pure consciousness through the sun and the moon comes and enlivens. So Gopati. So provides to all the beings in this world. Hence he is called as Gopati. So the word go means earth, cow, Vedas. All these are different meanings of the word go. So go hitaha, one who protects the cow, one who protects the earth, one who protects Vedas. Look at it many ways. The whole idea is to increase the awareness and consciousness. So what is the idea that every week after week we have to meet? Once in a week we meet and we discuss. What is the idea? The idea is to keep on fanning our interest in the study of the Vedanta, which will help us to increase the awareness. That's the idea. Otherwise it's a total waste of time. We are just covering more and more books. More and more namas. Yeah, you're getting more and more information. How is it going to help us personally? Just like we have been in the habit of collecting things, money, people, awards. We are collecting results. So that is not the idea. The idea is to evolve, to fan, increase the awareness. Gopta. Gopta means the root gupt has two meanings. One is to protect and one is to wield. So veil. Gopta, he veils through Maya, you know. The glory of the divine self within. He veils through the Maya. Everybody, you don't know your glory. So you're counting your glories based on your acquisitions. You are glorious victor without your acquisitions. But you do not know. Today count your glory only with reference to your acquisitions. So, one who veils the glory, the self within, is one meaning. Other meaning is the protector of the universe, one who protects the universe. Bhokta. Protector of the universe from what? From rajoguna and tamoguna. Helps the sattva. Vrishabhakshaha. Vrishabhakshaha. One who rides rain. Fulfillment of all desires of his devotees. And so it means one who sees righteousness clearly and continuously. Vrisha. Vrisha means dharma. Vrishabhakshaha. Means one who sees dharma clearly and continuously. One who eyes fulfills all the desires of his devotees. How does he fulfill the desires of all his devotees? So giving them the right direction. And when they start functioning unselfishly, they write about the desires. It is not that all their desires will be one by one fulfilled. They are fulfilled or completely dissolved. Vrishabh Priyaha, one who delights in Dharma. One who delights in Dharma. So if you are dharmic, you will have him as your company. You will be in the company of the dharmic people. One who is beloved to be virtuous people. Though God pervades everywhere, he will be shining in the hearts of the virtuous people. See, when an unselfish or a selfless person comes there, he uplifts everyone. Even the mood is elevated. The selfish fellow, he destroys the mood. He's so selfish. Constantly complaining, this and that. The one who delights in Dharma. Next. Anivarti nirutatmaha sankshetta kshema kuchivaha srivat savaksha srivasaha sripati srimatambaraha anibhati nivrittatma sankshetta kshema kuchivaha srivat savaksha srivasaha sripati srimatambaraha anibhati. One who never knows retreat, one who never retreats from Dharma, that's what it means. Always in Dharma, and one who never leaves Dharma and goes. That's what anivarti means. So as you start valuing Dharma, practicing Dharma, you will find the pure consciousness more and more manifesting through you. Anivarti. You will also not give up that Dharma. Righteousness. Then nivrittatma, one who is fully restrained from all the sense indulgences. The result of establishing oneself in one's own dharma, there is no more requirement for any sense indulgence. Because you do not want to experience the shadow, you want to experience the reality. Why would you then go into the shadow? Therefore, he says, Nivrittatma, the strength self, Sankshetaha, one who absorbs into himself the entire universe at a time of dissolution. The entire universe is absorbed into oneself by Brahman, Pralaya time, Sankshetaha. By opening your eyes, you experience the world. Similarly, if you imagine, Brahman opens the eyes, the world is come. He closes, the world is withdrawn. So you have brought this world by opening, you will take it back by closing. That's it. Kshemakrit, one who does good, a doer of good. Kshemakrit. It's very, very interesting. Kshema. Kshema means the welfare. What is good for a person. He only does what is good. So even the so-called punishments are actually for your good. You do not understand. There is a story, you know, that a particular king, he will go for hunting every now and then. Every time he goes for hunting, he will never go alone. He will always take his minister. One minister was very close to him. He will always take him. This minister had a strange habit. For everything he will say, that is also for our good, that is also our good. For our good, everything he will say for our good is happening. So one day, The king had cut his finger while he was cutting the apple. A mistake, some small cut was there. So he said, that is also for your good. He got angry. He put him in jail. The mood was a little kharab, so he said, let me go for hunting. He went alone. They were caught by the cannibals. And the cannibals were about to sacrifice him, but they had this strange traditional belief that they would only sacrifice a human being to their goddess if that human being is not hurt, be clean. There should be no dirt or hurt in the human being. They found this cut in him, so they let him go. He came running to the jail and said, please release this minister, because this fellow said, that is for the good, I didn't understand. No one understood. So then when he was released, he asked the minister, I understand that when you said this cut was good for me, but how is it good for you when I put you in jail? He said, sir, if you had not put me in jail, you would have the, you always had the habit of taking me with you. Now I am not having any hurt, no scratch, nothing in my body. So there was sacrifice in me, easily. So, that is for my good. So, in this universe, the knocks and shocks, everything is for us to drop the attachment and work. We are not learning the lessons. The scriptural knowledge will help us to learn the lessons. It is not that you learn the information that will make you walk. The total waste. That's the information. But when you, through the scriptures, begin to learn these things, then you see, you know, then you will not complain. The moment you have stopped complaining, you see you are in seventh heaven already. There is nothing to complain, and there is only everything for you to say thanks. You will find that there is more reason for you to be grateful than to be complaining. You are being grateful not because you have everything materially. You need not. But you will be tremendously grateful. The paripurnatvam. So that is what he is saying. Shivamakrit. There is a 600th nama, Shiva. Of Lord Vishnu is Shiva. Vishnu and Shiva, one and the same. Shiva means auspicious. We are fighting Vishnu. I don't know whether it is there in North India, but in South India, there are Vaishnavites who will not go to Shaiva temple. And I think Vaishi was also. All kinds of. Here he is very clearly saying, Shiva. I am Shiva. So Shiva is not different from Vishnu. Vishnu is not different from Brahma. But unfortunately, we understand it like that. So Lord Shiva, Vishnu, one and the same. There is no difference between the two. Shiva means purifier. So Vishnu purifies. You start chanting the Nama of Vishnu. You start becoming purified. Shri Vatsa Vakshaha. One who has the mark Shri Vatsa upon his divine and sacred chest. No, it's the mark that the Vaishnavites carry on the chest and the whole body. It is actually the Shri or Lakshmi, Lakshmiji is on the chest of Lord Vishnu. The entire world, wealth, is within Narayan. That's what it means. One who has chest, there is a mark called Srivatsa. Whose chest? Srivatsa means the goddess Lakshmi. That is what the meaning is next to, given in the next also. Srivatsam. Goddess Lakshmi resides there. Always dwells there. The residence of all the wealth, the entire glory, everything resides there. That's why Swami Ramakrishna says the way to gain anything is to lose it. Lose it, lose it, lose it. He goes on saying, lose it, lose it, lose it. He'll never lose it. They're going on grab, 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 grab. He keeps saying Indian culture. This, what is this Indian culture? This is the culture. You go attack, grab. This is not our culture. See, when you, that's what I'm saying, when you are working at the divine level, when you are working at the demonic level. Demonic in the sense ego. See, when you become spiritual, the people, oh, my daughter has joined the academy, now she's come back, she's not wearing the jewelry. Yeah? That doesn't mean you should not wear. See, very interesting, just because you don't wear doesn't mean you become spiritual. But as you become spiritual, you don't need this external paraphernalia. To show your beauty. You are beautifying your personality by cleansing the dirt within. Which reflects to your personality. So your dependence on these things reduce. If you wear it, nothing wrong. You want to wear it, wear it. Nothing wrong. But there is no necessity. There is no wear it. Oh, please tell her no. Please, one bangle she should wear. What will society think of us? Big headache it is. Society thinking. Constant. Oh, not interested in anything. Bichara kya ho gaya? Kyun beja unko udhar? Everybody, you know. See. Ego needs. Ego is false. Very interesting, you know. Swamiji gives this example in Chennai, I believe, many, many years ago, it was Madras, 50, 70 years ago, maybe 80 years ago. There was this forgery case argued in the court. So, the fellow who was defending his client, who was actually forged the document, was talking for hours together. Then, when the other lawyer had to present his case, he just stood up and said, Lord, I've kept that document, the forged document on your table there. Please see, it has a particular watermark. He put it against the light, it had the watermark. Then he said, I've kept another document there. Please see, it is from the company. They say that they started producing the papers with that watermark on so-and-so date. Whereas the document date is 1 or 2 years before they even started manufacturing, printing those papers. So obviously it is a forged document. That's all he spoke and left. He didn't say obviously it is Portuguese and all. He said, just see, the company has given the letter, but it has a watermark, and this watermark, they started printing from this date onwards. Before that, it was not there. And the document is 1 year before this. He said that it left. It was not even in the court anymore. So what you need to understand here is, to defend false You need so many words, so many discernment. To defend truth, you don't need words. In fact, the moment you start using so many words, move away from truth. That's why Mahatmas, they kept quiet. The moment you open the mouth means you are not talking the truth. All our classes we are blabbering from the standard. Ego needs all this support. Truth doesn't need any support. Truth stands on its own merit. Necessary. But that doesn't mean you are anti. If you are anti gold, anti jewelry, you are a spiritual person. This is rubbish. Nothing like that. All the gods and goddesses we decorate in the temples. Not because they need. Because out of our devotion, our thing, we do that. So, when you know, the false needs all this, the truth doesn't. So, you are getting closer and closer to the truth. You are not dependent on these things. That is the last, that is the actual thing that happens. Because unfortunately, some people think, oh, you will give up all this, I'll become spiritual. You will become more frustrated. You will be the highly frustrated lady and the man. These things drops. Because you're standing on a firm ground. Your feet is firm, you don't need the stick. The feet is not firmly on the ground, you need a stick. So, Srivasa, where the Sri resides. All the wealth of the world resides in the person. He doesn't need to wear it to show or feel complete. Sri Patihi. The Lord of Goddess Lakshmi. She chose when they turned the Milky Ocean. She came out. She garlanded Narayana. She didn't garland anybody else. And why she garlanded Narayana? Because he was least interested in it. Least interested in this, this is what I explained to you just now. Truth doesn't need these things. False needs words. Truth doesn't need words. One of the chantings in Tamil, they call all this philosophy as waste. Kuppa. Kuppa means garbage. That's to a kuppa. Garbage, or the whole philosophy is garbage. All these words cannot express the truth. So the moment you express the words and you are stuck to the words, that means you are stuck to the false. Falsity. Fascinating. People are all stuck to the words. Narayana was never interested in all this. And when you are not interested, it comes to you. When you're interested, it leaves you. That's how it is. That's why they say, you know, wealth doesn't stay in a family for more than 7 generations. Right? For the 7, even after 3-4 it goes. Ah, that fellows are not attached, become arrogant. Indulgent, wealth leaves. Srimatam Varaha. One who is supreme over all deities like Brahma, who are endowed with power and wealth of the Vedas. The best among those who have glory in life. Srimatam Varaha. All the people who have glory, the best is Narayana, because their glory is also because of him. Hey, Swamiji has talked to so many of us. And some of us go and give lectures around the world. And if you see that, oh, great lectures, interesting thoughts. So all the glory that come to students of Swamiji is actually the glory of his. So in that sense, Srimatam Varaha, the best among those who have glory in life. Shri. So I'll stop with this here today. Today this much is enough. I have some work. So we'll stop at 6:04. We'll meet next week. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Veda Vacha Manasendriyaiha Buddhyasana
Vatmanava Svate Svabhava
सकलं परतमं नारायणोऽपि समस्तया हरि ओम.